Today's daf in Masechet Shabbat, brought to you from Yerushalayim, Ir HaKodesh, is daf Chof Hei, and we had gotten up to already the explanation of why it is that you cannot burn kachim on Yontif, and we learned from that also Truma, and that's why we were talking about Yontif, because it said, Lo sasev yaseh in doch eseh. Losasavase was our latest time. So we had a lot of different explanations of the mocker of this mitzvah. In any event, we're up to the third line, actually the last word on the second line, and the Gemara wants to know today why this Isser is only an Isser on Yontev, and it's Mutter Bechol, HaBechol Shaperdami. Why do we think that you're allowed to use Shemen Srefa during the week? I mean, isn't it usher to be nene from things of Kadesh that got puzzled? So it should be usher to be nene from Truma. I mean, you're treating the Truma over here as Kadesh. So where do you get the idea that you're allowed to be nene from this? Well, Omer Rav, Kishem Shemitzvah L'Srof HaKadashim Shenitmu, Kach Mitzvah L'Srof HaTruma Shenitmet. So first of all, there's the same mitzvah to burn Truma. And the Torah specifically said, Bishat biuran te'nu mimenu. You're allowed to be nene from it. What do you mean? The Torah said, where? We're asking you where you get the idea. Where did the Torah say? Eichan Amra Torah. Ah, that's what you want to know. Okay. That's from Reb Nachman. Because the Om Reb Nachman, Amar Rabba Baravua, does it not say in the Posik Vani, Hinei natati lecha et mishmeret shrumotai. So I'm giving you, to you, lecha. Remember, when it says lecha, where do we know that you're allowed to, the things that you're allowed to do on Yontif is lechem. Anything that is your specific needs. And this over here, lecha, means it's given to you. Now, it says over here, trumotai. Does it just say my truma? That means we're talking about two different trumot. And that would be whether it's truma tahora, whether it's truma tamea. The Torah is saying I'm giving it to you, which means that you can utilize it, even though I said you're not allowed to eat, but obviously you can use it to, as a fuel, or you could put it inside of your stove, and la sikata chatafshucha, you want to cook on it, you're welcome to cook on it. There's also another makor, vibaytemen rabbi abo, dam rabbi abo, am rabbi ochanan, take a look at maaser sheni. Now, when you say maaser sheni, you say the vidui every 3 years. And what you say over there is velo biarti mimenu batame, that I did not get rid of this miser in a state of tuma. Aha. Now that means that I would not be allowed to burn miser underneath my cooking. So, and it stresses over there, mimenu. Mimenu means davka from this. So mimenu iatamavir, avalatamavir, shemen shatruma shenitme. You can't burn miser. But you can, which is striking, because usually we're more machmer or truma, right? But you can burn truma. Says, well, how do you know to read it that way? I mean, why don't you say, mimeno etamavir, you can't burn meiser betuma, but you can burn shemen shokoda shenitma, the real shemen tzreifa, not just shemen of truma. But you're allowed to burn even shemen of kodesh, but maybe truma is similar to meiser. Oh, come on, isn't it a kal v'chomer? If the Torah is saying even Meiser, Meiser is tremendously kal when it compared to Kodesh. So if you're even allowed to burn, not allowed to burn Meiser betuma, so Koshiken, Kodesh chomer lo Koshiken? Wait a minute, wait a minute. You could have said the same thing about Truma. I mean, come on. We basically have two situations exactly the same. So Truma and Kodesh are kal v'chomer. If the Torah is asering using Meiser, so it should definitely aser using Truma Betuma. Now you're telling me that we're saying it means Dafka, you can use Truma, but you can't use Kodesh. I mean, you could have said the same thing, Truma namely, but kal v'chomer. But it says, Mimenu iata mavir, but you can be mavir Truma. Darn it, that's what I was asking you. How do you know that that's the way to read it? Maybe it means mimenu, but you can use kodesh. That's exactly what I'm asking. Umara ita. So what do you base yourself on to say that, well, it's got to mean that you cannot use kodesh either. It's the only thing that's left is it's telling me you can burn truma betuma. So how do you know? Well, I mean, it makes perfect good sense. I'm not going to say that kodesh you're allowed to burn, Because, I mean, have you ever seen a pink ox? Absolutely. And that pink ox only occurs in Kadesh. So the reason is Misimen pink ox. Now, pink ox stands for Pigo, Noser, Korban, Me'ila, Kores, and Osir La'one. These are things that Kodesh is much more chomer, and therefore it makes sense to say that the Isser of Sreifa would apply to Kodesh and not to Truma. There's no Pigel on Truma. There's no din of Noser on Truma. Now, Rashi learns Pigel means literally Pigel, and Noser means literally Noser. Tosus learns Pigel means a machshava of chutz lemekomo, and Noser includes both a machshavas chutz lemekomo and an lizmano, and actually the real item that's chutz lizmano. That is to say, it was actually left over Noser. Okay, but the idea is the same. Truma is not called a korban. And the idea over here of Chi of Me'ila, there's no Chi of Me'ila on Truma. The Isser of being Nenef from Truma, Truma over here also is an Isser when it comes to Truma only of Misa B'dei Shamayim, and this is an Isser of Kores. And the Din of Ba'onen, the Isserim of Onen, is also Chal on Kodesh. So because of that, it makes sense. If you're going to be Mekel, you ought to be Mekel on something that doesn't have the pink ox chumras, and therefore truma should be what you're making on. So, says the Gemara, but on the other hand, we should say that truma is more chomer, because after all, if you're going to be spraying your bugs with machpas, so then you want to make certain that it isn't truma. What is machpas? What's the simen of machpas? That's a simen of misa and chomesh. So there's a special din. We don't have the chiyav of misa b'dei shamayim, and you have a chiyav of chomesh, which you do not have on the truma. You'll always have a chiyav of a misa and chomesh, which you don't always have, even in terms of me'ila, because once something is mutter l'kayanim, then we don't have this b'shas heter ha'kayanim. There's no such halacha on paying a chomesh to the Kohen. Mashenke by Truma, there is such a halacha. And there's also an additional chumra, which is there's no pidyan. It's impossible to be poda Truma. You can be poda Kodesh. And it's also never mutter lezorim. And Kodesh is sometimes mutter lezorim. I mean, what about, you know, if I bring a carbon taida, I bring a carbon shlomim, I'm certainly allowed as the owner to have it. So it turns out that actually Truma is more chomer, no? Or, you know what, Ibai Seima, look, I could very say simply that Kodesh is more chomer. Sorry, first of all, Hanach Nefishin. If you add up the number of letters in pink oxes and versus the number of letter in machpa spray, you end up with two more issues in the pink ox, and therefore, we are going to be more machmer on Kodesh than we are on Truma. So therefore, if we have a choice, one or the other, we're going to say Kodesh is Osir B'Shemen Sreifa, and Truma is Mutter B'Shemen Sreifa. Or there's another simple answer, without getting into the details. The comparison of Kores to Misa B'Dei Shamayim, Kores is much more chomer. Why is Kores more chomer? Now, here, this is a big issue, because it isn't clear, Bechlal, what exactly do we mean by Koret. Rashi learns all over, at least in the Shas. He says other things in Chuvas and so on, but that Koret always includes Ariri. Ariri means that if he had young children, he will lose his young children as well. Tosfos brings that actually from the Yerushalmi. First of all, he proves that Ariri is a specific set of Kores only where it says Aririm Yamutu and not all over, and therefore does not define the nature of Kores. And he brings from the Yerushalmi that Misa B'dei Shamayim would mean that someone would die by the age of 50 or between 50 and 60. Mashenkin Kores is that he doesn't reach 60, is one pshat, and it's beautiful rayas, by the way, that the Yerushalmi brings to the pshatim from the actual psukim, because it says Al Yachritu the Shevet HaKahati, and the Ayachritu, the Shevet HaKahati, is that you have the din over there of Shishim Shana. That's where we were actually making Takana. And the Takana that we have over there, Zot Asulam V'Chiyu, is that means make sure that they will live. That was, their avodah was up to chamishim. So chamishim would be the age of Kores, because we're saying al tachritu. Instead, let them finish their avodah between 30 and 50. Masha'enkein, the gezera b'midbar hazeh yitamu v'sham yamutu is said on b'nei shishim, which means that nobody, remember, it starts from the age of 20 up. And that was the idea that there will be before Arboim Shana, which means that Misa would be 60 and Kores would be 50. So Kores is more Chomer. That was the beautiful raya of the Yerushalmi. Sorry, I switched it before I mispronounced. Okay, there's other pshatim as well that they bring, but in any event, it isn't clear bichlal what precisely is meant by Kores, what precisely is meant by Misa v'deshamayim, but in any event, Kores is considered definitely to be more chomer. Reb Nachum Bar Yitzchak says it's very simple. It says beferish in the pasuk that the mishmeret trumotai. What did we say? We said titain lo. You're supposed to give it to the kohen. So the idea of the lo means lo velo lo oro. From there, we learn out that when you are giving out truma, you have to be giving out truma that is actually tahor. So you cannot take out tame for tahor, because if you were giving him truma that's tame, you'd only be giving him truma that is usable for a fire or for a lamp, right? So it would be lo velola uro or lo velola oro. The pashtus is lo uro, because we learned before even to use it for your fire in your kira. So that's for cooking. But that means, if the Torah needs to tell me that you can't give him truma tamea because it would be l'uro, so then obviously it means that l'uro is mutter. So you see from there that you can be nene from truma. So why are you asking me, why don't we say that it means kodesh and not truma? It's a beferish apostle. Tosis points out that even though, I mean, what does it say here, lo velo l'uro? Maybe it just means titein lo, and not for something that is unusable. Tosfos says because if it's unusable bichlal, then it would not be considered to be netina, because it has to have a chefs of netina, which means it needs at least to be worth a shavar pruta. Okay, getting on now to Rabbi Yishmael in the Mishnah. So we have the additional issues of Rabbi Yishmael. Omer, you're not allowed to use itran, and why not? Because kvod ha-shabbat. What's the kvod ha-shabbat that's involved in itran? My timer. Omar Rava, because b'tok sh'reichol rag, zera sh'mi'en echana v'yetzeh. It smells so bad, you might leave the room where your Shabbos candles are. Omar Le'abai, who cares? Let him leave the room. What do we care if he leaves the room? Didn't he light his candles? Omar lo, ani omer hadlakas ner b'shabbat chova. That actually there's a chiyuv of hadlakas ner b'shabbos. Now this is a very strange Gemara, very atum. The way the Rambam understands the sugya of there being two separate inyanim in Hadlakas HaNer makes it very clear and beautiful. Abaya's kasha was, if the mitzvah of Hadlakas HaNer b'Shabbos was because of a chibadito, so then it's the act of the hadloka that shows the chashivas of Shabbos, in that I lit for it and showed my special concern for honoring the coming of the Shabbos. What do I care subsequently whether I'm dafke eating by my nearest Shabbos or not? That's a biased question. To which Rava responds that I hold that besides the chiyav of the chibadato, there's also a chiyav of hadlokas ner because of einek. And that's a chiyav. And therefore, because that's a chiyav, if you leave the room where your nerot Shabbat are lit, you're going to only be Mekayim the din of Kovet Shabbos, but you're not going to be Mekayim the din of Onik Shabbos, because it's not a pleasure to eat in a dark room where you can't see your food and so on. And I hold that there's an additional chiyuv, so it works out beautiful because the Rambam brings two separate inyanim. So in Achinami, the mitzvah of the act of hadlaka is lahadlik ner shel Shabbat. That's a mitzvah. Besides that, there's a chovah to see to it that v'karata l'Shabbat Onik, which answers the problem that Tosis brings, that if you're telling me, ani omer it's a chovah, then why do we make a brocha shekidashanu b'tzvotav etzivanu if there's no mitzvah? It's only a chovah. And usually we use the word chovah like mayim aharonim, chovah. What does that mean? We don't make a bracha on Mayim Acharonim because it's a chiyuv. It's something that needs to be done, but we don't include it in the mitzvahs of the Chachomim. So if Rav is saying over here, I say it's a chova, then we shouldn't make a bracha. And it doesn't say anywhere in the Gemara to make a bracha. But this answers it completely. Obviously, it's a mitzvah, and obviously we make a bracha. Rav is adding. He's saying, I hold that there's an additional chova that you have to eat in the place where your Shabbos candles are. I'm telling you, it works out absolutely gorgeous. Tosfos has to go into a whole rigmarole about different types of chova. The chova mitam sakana, so that's not called a chova. And then there's a chova mitam mitzvah, which is called a chova. As I say, the Rambam, as usual, has been meir einenu. Okay, so that makes sense. The Omer of Nachum bar Rav Zavda, the Omer of Nachum bar Rav, Omer Rav Adlakat Ner B'Shabbat is a chova. So Rashi, Tosfos says, this must mean Adlakat Ner B'Shabbat B'Mokam Se'uda, even though it doesn't say it. It's just so strange. Like the Gemara is leaving out the ikar of the issue, right? But according to the Rambam, this is the issue. Besides the mitzvah of Adlakat Ner, there's a chova to have a Ner. Perfect. Okay. And Rechitzat Yadayim Raglayim B'Chamin Arvit, the Erev Shabbos, that you should wash, you should take a shower, that's not considered to be a chovah mamash, that's a reshus, and it's a good thing to do, but I tain it's a mitzvah. What's the mitzvah? The Omer of Yudah Merav, kach hayamin hakosh Rabbi Yudah Rabbi Loi. Erev Shabbos, they brought him a bathtub, an ariva, that was filled with hot water, and he was reichitz ponav, yadav, raglav, at least, umitatev, v'yoshev b'sadinim ha-metsuyatzim. And he would sit down, and he would wait for Shabbos. This, of course, was the whole minhag in Tzfat, where they would go out and be mekabel Shabbos, from which came our Kabbalah Shabbos, and the songs that we sing was all from that period. And he would sit outside wearing these beautiful sadinim, and they would all have tzitzit in the sadinim. I think Moshe is able to give us an example of this, these beautiful sadinim. Except that Moshe's, these were white, and they were like the Malachim, who were completely clothed in white. Moshe goes out of his way to have sadinim mitsuyarim, so that they should be beautiful. There we go. There's his sadinim mitsuyatzim with techeles. Yes, show us the techeles over there carefully. Ah, there we go. Okay, with the techeles, excellent. So this is exactly what he used to do. And he would sit outside with these sadinim mitsuyatzim. So he looked like a malach Hashem tzvokas that was waiting for the Shabbos to come. But all of his talmidim, they weren't wearing these tzitzit on the sides of their talitot. We'll explain why in a moment. So they would sort of hide and put the talis behind them so that he couldn't see that they weren't wearing tzitzis. And he wasn't so stupid. He noticed that nobody was showing the corner of the beged to him. So he said to them, "Banai, lo kach shineti lachem, have I not taught you that even though linen, we still call it linen today, even though linen, meaning that's what we use linen on the bed, right? So those are linens. Why? Because they were always made of linen. So have I not taught you that linen is chayev in tzitzit, even though it's kilayim? And that's because of the pasuk gedilim ta'aselach, which is put together with the lo tilbash shatneis gedilim ta'aselach. So you see that even though normally it's shatneis, but when it comes to the mitzvah of putting in gedilim, you're mechuyev even though it's kilayim. So why are you not wearing your tzitzit? So have I not explained to you that Beit Shammai says you're potter, but Beit Hillel says you're chayev, and the halach is like Beit Hillel? So why indeed were his talmidim not wearing their tzitzit? V'inu savrei gezeira mishum ksut laila. So there's a tremendous machlokas in about how to understand the sugya. And the question is this. Were they wearing tzitzit made out of linen and not tchelet? So they just had the white strings of linen, which of course would not be a problem of kelayim. Or were they not wearing tzitzit at all? So there's a big machlokas how to understand the issue over here. The way that Rashi brings here, which is not the way that he brings in the tshuva of Rashi, as the Tosfos explains, is that they held like this, that according to Beit Shammai, the din was that midiraisa, he is not derish smuchim, and therefore he did not hold that were Deiche, the Isra of Kelayim, and they weren't going like Beit Shammai. They were going actually like Beit Hillel, except that even though there was a Chiev, according to Beit Hillel, the Rabbanon were gozer not to put in tzitzit onto the corner of your beged, because if it's made out of linen, because of the chashash that maybe you will put it on a beged that is miyuchad for Laila, and there's no chiv on Big Day Laila, at least according to Aman D'Yomar, and because of that, you would be over on Kelayim without even realizing it. So they answered putting tzitzit on linen. Others learned that, of course, there was never that Beit Shammai held that there's no din midiraisa, but rather Beit Shammai was the one that actually made the gezerah, and he patered midirabbanan because either of Ksut Laila, the Gemara brings another time, that maybe it would get torn and you wouldn't notice. So Memela, he patered completely Sadinim, and he brings that actually the Rav Amram Gon, the Siddur paskins like Beit Shammai. There are six things that he paskin like Beit Shammai, and in this, he paskin like Beit Shammai. The Rabbeinu Tam brings that you should not even make Bizman Hazeh, your tzitzit, your talis cotton even, out of linen, and put in tzitzit bimino, meaning made out of linen, even though they're white. And this was because he held like this Rav Sadia Gaon. We paskin like Beit Shammai. And therefore, every time you make a brocha on that, you'd be making a brocha levatola. And this bichlal leads to a lot of issues, which I know Rav Shlush, Zichrona Levracha, was the Rav in Tveria, actually had the kids in school stop wearing tzitzis because they were making these brochas levatola every single day because almost all of them were posel because the begadim were too small to be able to be called tzitzit at all, because you wouldn't be able to be yotze naked into the marketplace wearing them, even as a kid. And because of that, they were not really chayav and tzitzit. And so the teachers were teaching kids to make brochas levatola, which he didn't hold of, and he had the guts to. Can you imagine? It's like the Iker Hadat is, you know, a kid's got to wear a talis cotton. I mean, otherwise, what's life all about? So he actually prevented them from doing it. And today, the latest prevention measures that were just announced this morning here in this country is amazing. It's as if everything that people love to make a big fuss of showing off with and doing things in a big way, everything is awesome. So now you're not allowed to have anyone but family members at a wedding. No guests. No fancy weddings. You're only allowed to have 10 people maximum at a bris mila. No fancy soda. You're only allowed to have this minion at a funeral. No big hespedim. All the shuls are closed. I mean, it's absolutely astounding. Everything that is all the big show-offy stuff, no more show-offy stuff. Everything that people love to make a big thing out of and pretend that it's all being done because, you know, obviously this is the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants it. All of a sudden, a Seder is a small affair in your own home with only those who live with you, the way it was by Yetzias Mitzrayim. It's talking about Dafke in your home, Dafke with your Mishpachto. That was the Chiev and so on. It's just absolutely amazing. It's as if Poshet HaNovi came along, Eliyahu HaNovi came along before Mashiach comes, and says, okay, guys, it's time to start becoming Ovdei Hashem and not Ovdei religion. It's like, woo, what Giluyim? And these are like government regulations, you understand. You get thrown into jail for 6 months, or you'd be fined, you know, if you go ahead and you make a big wedding. So that's fantastic. So all of the Hasidish Rebbe's, our own Rebbe's Gzeira, not to make big weddings. You'll notice he never made a big wedding for himself even. So not to make big weddings. Nobody paid attention to the Rebbe's. You know, as the famous story with the Gera Rebbe, somebody came and said, you know, Rebbe, but I'm a multi-billionaire. I mean, for me to make a wedding less than 1,000 people, you're only allowing you're not allowing bands, you're not allowing, you know, all of these things. I mean, for me, it's mamash bizoyin. For me, it has to be mutter. So definitely no tishim, Daniel. So for me, it has to be mutter. The famous answer was, you know, you're 100%, you're right. If you're so rich, you can buy yourself a new Rebbe. All right, so anyway, so this was the issue, and therefore do not wear these tzitzis. Anyway, getting on down back to the Gemara again. So the halacha, they held it was a gezer mishum ksus laila, or we actually don't paskin the way that he taught his Talmidim. And even though it was, he held that, but Rav Yehuda bar Bilai, it was obviously a mocker of halacha. We didn't pask in that way, halacha lamaisa, according to the Siddur of Amram Gon and the Tosfos. Vatiznach mishalom nafshi nisheti tova. So over here, we're talking about, as the Yirmiyahu HaNavi says, I give up on ever having real shalom. I forgot how good things used to be. What was that referring to? Omer Rabbi Abu, that is not mishalom nafshi, what is shalom? Adlokas ner Shabbos, which we said is shalom bias. Nisheti tova, what does that mean? Says Rabbi Yirmiyahu, that means a nice hot mikveh, you know, a beit hamerchatz. Rabbi Yochanan says, this is referring to rechitzat yadayim v'raglayim b'chamim. Let's not go overdo it. I mean, a hot shower is good enough. Rabbi Yitzchak Nafcha says, this is having a beautiful bed with lovely linens and beautiful decorations on it. Rabbi Abba said, and what about the beautiful girl on it? I mean, without the girl, it's not worth very much, is it? So this is referring to a mita mutzat and a beautiful woman, mekushetet l'tamid chachomim, who enjoys such things for Shabbos on their madrega. Tana Rabbana, let's define what it means to be really rich. Ezu Ashir. So Rabbi Meir says to be really rich, once we're talking about all this tova, so we want to talk about, and how do you define having everything that you need? So what is considered to be rich? Somebody who is feeling good and has the sense of having a real enjoyment of whatever it is that he has, which may not be exactly the same as sameach b'chelko, because sameach b'chelko doesn't mean necessarily he's enjoying his riches. Rabbi Meir is saying he feels the pleasure of what he has. Others learn that it is sameach b'chelko, but it certainly doesn't seem to be. Rabbi Tarfon Omer, Rabbi Tarfon says, okay, you want to talk about rich? You really think something is good? This is the way the Marsha understands it. You really think that like a certain amount of money is going to make you happy? Okay, let's try 100 vineyards, 100 fields, 100 guys walking, working for you, making sure your garden is all clean, your house is nice, your fields are good. Okay, now you're happy like hell. So let's forget about it. Rabbi Akiva says, Koshi yeshlo isha na'a b'maasim. What are you going to get all that money for, to buy a bigger diamond for your wife? What you need is a wife who doesn't care about diamonds. She cares about you, and everything is done l'shem shamayim, like my wife. Rabbi Yossi Omer, you want to be really rich? Be healthy. Best way to stay healthy, have a good bathroom near your home. So that way, nothing else counts, you know? So as long as you have a nice bathroom near your shulchan, that's wonderful. Tanya Rabbi Shimon Omer, Rabbi Shimon Elazar Omer, there's something that you're not allowed to light with, which is even worse than itron. And that's sorry. That's atzei aktaf. My timer, Omer Rabba, that's because it smells so incredibly good that we're afraid that you may actually take some out to use as perfume and so on. And because of that, you're going to be over on the iser of being mechabeh. Because if you remove something from the container of in which it's a fuel for a lamp, you are going to be mechabeh the lamp. And therefore, we want to make sure you don't use it. Omer li Abaye, wait a minute. I mean, there's a much better reason not to use it. I mean, it's so highly flammable that if you light with this stuff, it could burn down your house. Some of it may just suddenly burst, a big burst of flame when you light it. It'll catch onto your curtains, and that's the end. Yeah. I mean, besides that, Chod of Ha'od Kamar, some say a very good pshat in Chod of Ha'od, is that even if you put in other material which prevents it from being as flammable as all that, it still would be usher because of the smell. Obviously, if it's off, you can't use it even during the week. It's a sakana. But I'm talking about making it roy for Shabbos, and I'm telling you it's still usher because of the fact that you'll be mistopic bimeno. So therefore, obviously, but you have to worry also about the gezera. Maybe you'll use it on Shabbos. As a matter of fact, we have a lovely story of a mother-in-law, a really classic mother-in-law. Oh, what a wonderful mother-in-law who was always so sweet to her daughter-in-law. My darling daughter-in-law, she tells her one day, she couldn't stand her. My darling daughter-in-law, guess what I've bought from you? I've got some wonderful tzori, which if you put it on, you're going to be so beautiful for Shabbos. Nobody's going to be able to resist your smell. Here, so she gives her this beautiful tzori. Ah, you smell wonderful. Now go light the candles. She goes, and that's the end of her daughter-in-law. And that was the end of the beautiful story. So anyway, let's see it inside. There was this chamot that hated her kala. So she says to her, zil ikshit b'mashma d'afarsama. So she does. And when she comes back, she says, okay, now light the candles. And she did, and she blew up. And impacha nura v'achalata, and ate her all up. And that was the end of the hated daughter-in-law.